guys and girls back there, wave at them. You're just so glad I'm not back there hitting buttons. We'd really be in trouble, right? Praise God. Man, let's pray. Father, we come to you always. First and always, we come to you. And we thank you that you have been God Almighty, faithful in your kindness, faithful in your love, faithful in your plan that you have brought us into your house. And Father, we thank you that today you have words for each person here to bring light and encouragement and direction and strength in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're the revealer. And I thank you that you would speak through my mouth these words, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, in front of you is a blue card. It's called a volunteer card. And volunteering's fun. Hey, you don't have to clean the toilets anymore. We actually have a company that does that. But volunteering's fun because you get to meet people. You get to meet people when you volunteer. So we have lots of avenues to volunteer. If you don't volunteer here, I just suggest sign up for something. Praise God. A lot of our things are like a six-month commitment. I know I said the C word, commitment. All right. But some of them are 6 months. We say children's ministry, 6 months, but most of us are on for life. Don't tell them that. I remember one lady, Vicky, said, you know, my child, who would have thought when I had my child, I would just follow him until junior high. And she said, but I did it and totally enjoyed the kids I got to know. I got to watch them grow up. But hey, there's lots of, if you don't want to do children's, we've got lots of fun things. Amen. Alrighty. We are in the middle of, I guess we call a series, and we're talking about red letter. Everybody say red letter. And red letter is found in your Bible, if you have a red letter Bible, where it takes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a lot of times in the book of Acts, and sometimes you'll see red letters in the book of Revelation. And these red letters is Jesus. It's Jesus talking. And guess what? If Jesus is talking, I think I'm going to be listening, all right? And it's if Jesus is talking, how many of you would agree it's important? It is, all right? It's important, all right? So our first week we looked at where Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Look at somebody next to you. Oh, neighbor. No, love your neighbor as yourself, okay? And Jesus got tossed this question. It was really a setup, but somebody on their setup question said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered that. And the red letter, Jesus answered that. And he said, your neighbor is anyone who's hurting. Anyone who's hurting is your neighbor. All right, and the story goes, Jesus tells a parable, a story. He says, two religious guys see somebody hurting. They see him. You know, sometimes somebody will call me up and they say, hey, Pastor D, I saw you at the store. You didn't see me. I know, I didn't see you. But these guys saw this man that was beat up, robbed, left for dead. So these two religious guys saw him and they walked away. And then, of course, you know, the Good Samaritan sees him, someone who's hurting, and he goes and helps. Guess what? Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Yeah. And by the way, we're supposed to be like him. So he's the Good Samaritan who got down in the dirty and helped this guy. Praise God. If you were not able to be with us on week one, whatever date that was, you can go online and listen. So go ahead and do that. Last week was week two, and we talked about another red letter where Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God. Everybody say, seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that means there's an action and there's a posture. Okay, and the action about us seeking is that we run hard after God. We run after him. We are seeking him, all right? We run hard after God. And the position wasn't one of a crazy yoga position that you got to do. I love this one. Can't do that. But the position's really easy. It's humility. Humility simply means, God, I can't, you can. God, in and of my own self, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. But in you, I can do it. So humility. And listen, it is really easy. It is really easy. I have to reel myself in. It is really easy to say, I got this. Any of you ever say that? I got this. Or the very last thing we do is pray. If the very thing, last thing you do is pray, I think you have to back up and get back into the humility where it goes, listen, Lord, I need you. Matter of fact, I need you to do everything that you've called me to do in life. And then when you get there, man, that is a good position. So that's what we did last week. Praise God. This is week number 3, our third week on red letters. And y'all know, we could probably teach a red letter every Sunday. Yeah. Until Jesus comes back, because everything that he said is just amazing, all right? It's just amazing. But I am actually prayed about picking out just certain ones that are for us. The rest of y'all people that don't go, that aren't at our listening, something like, but I just picked them out for us, okay? So I picked out a red letter, but I'm not going to tell you that till about halfway through today, all right? Now, how many of you know that there are people that walk into this church maybe every Sunday, and maybe even today, and they're hurting? Some of you, raise your hand, that's me, okay? You know, and maybe you're the person that walked in, and you have had the worst of the worst weeks. You know, I grew up with this ridiculous saying, bad things come in three. Anybody ever hear that? In 1 year, I had 3 relatives die in 6 months. And I was like, what? But you're the person that comes in and say, I have had the worst week. I'm not 3 things bad. There's 33 things that have been bad about my week this week. Okay, and you come in hurting. And how about if you were to know that this is a place where you would know that God loves you, that God cares about what's going on in your life, that God actually wants to help you? That would be a good place to be. Or how about you're the person that comes in and you're all smiley, all right? But really, you're about verge on separating in your marriage. And you just need to know that God wants to help, that God is able to help, all right? So that would be nice. Or you're the person that's gotten the worst report from the doctor. And I could go on telling you things and things and things, but you get it. I just want to simply say that there's people that come to church here and they're hurting, all right? They're hurting. But this is a good place to be, so hang on. Don't let them out, all right? But this is the thing I hate about, nice word, Pastor D. This is the thing that bothers me about religion, okay? Just really ticks me off about religion. It's when that people say, God made people sick. God made this person sick. Okay, all right? So they'll say that, but in the next sentence, they'll tell me that they know the loving kindness of God is so amazing because God loved them. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And they'll tell me all of that. And then they throw that in the category that God makes people sick. Not my God. And that just really ticks me off when I hear people say that. So today, title, Jesus the Healer, because my God and your God does not do that, all right? So we're going to talk about Jesus the Healer, and you may be thinking, does he still do that? Does he still do that? Does he still heal? Okay, well, what are you supposed to believe? God's dead? No, God's not dead. I think they have a song, all right? God's not dead. He's alive. He's alive and he still heals, all right? So he's alive and he still wants to heal. He still wants to help. And you know, help and healing, sometimes we put God in a little box. I do. I try to get him out of the box and, you know, realize that was so silly. He's bigger than your box, D. Okay, but sometimes, you know, when I say Jesus is the healer, and then we run into people that may have mental illness, problems with oppression and problems of depression, okay? And they just have stuff that's been hitting them, and they're just like, I just feel and I can't get out of that, okay? But listen, God wants to heal that too. Get out of that little box and know that, you know, sometimes we think God just wants to heal broken bones. God wants to heal eyeballs and this and that. He wants to heal you from head to toe. And he can, and he desires to, all right? So, listen, he has other areas he wants to heal. He wants to heal in relationships, all right? He wants to heal, yes, in the physical, okay? Because everybody say, he's the healer. He's the healer, okay? Now, everybody in this room probably needs healing in something. Just something. All right? All righty. Now, you might say, well, mine's not like a bad report from the doctor that I have this disease, but this is a good one. My marriage is like rough, blowing up all over the place. And I want to tell you that God can heal that. God desires to heal relationships. That's part of Him as a healer. But you got to know it, and we got to believe it, and we'll get to that. So I want to talk about that. The other thing, this is interesting. Some of you I've known for a year, 5 years, 10 years. Some of you I've known when my kids were really little, okay? And when I look at people, y'all come from all kinds of backgrounds. I mean, I'm not even talking about church backgrounds. They're just the family that you grew up in puts a background into you, right? Okay. So we come from all kinds of backgrounds. And, you know, and I've heard this. Some people, again, in that background say they've grown up and they've heard this, not even just from a pulpit, but I've heard it from a pulpit, that God makes people sick. Okay. Listen, He is not a God who makes sick people sick. Think about this. Just go with me. Okay. Think about this. You're going to, you've died and you've gone to heaven, and up in heaven, they tell you in aisle 9 and 10, there's medicine. So if you're sick, you can go to aisle 9 and 10 and get medicine. Guys, there's no sickness in heaven. That'd be hell. Okay. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. It's not in heaven. All right? Now, commercial break. In our amazing bookstore, we have little books, medium books, big books. Is there anybody here at the bookstore today? Jeez, Louise. I have a key. That's okay. I'll let you in afterwards. Go to our bookstore and just chew on some of this stuff. If this is new and you're new to your background, or you just knew this but you don't know this, do you know what I did as I was preparing this for this week? I pulled your Christ the Healer, and it's yellow pages now, okay? And really, Jack stole it from her. So now it's mine. And the pages are falling out. It's Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Who's read that book? Just a great book. And then I pulled T.L. Osborne. It's another book that turned yellow and the pages are falling out. And I just was digging into this stuff. And like, I know this stuff. Nah. You got to keep it before you. So go, yes, read your Bible. Yes, listen to Pastor D. Yes, go online. But there's some great things. Okay, end of commercial. Moving right on. Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I only have 9 scriptures for you today. I must be backsliding. We usually average 15. All right? Write this down. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. All right? Praise God. Red letter. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with great power, and he went about doing good. Not bad. Not making people sick. That's my definition of good. How about yours, right? Okay, so he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil or of the devil, because God was with him. If you're taking notes, this is really simple. Write this down. God is good and the devil is bad. God is good and the devil is bad. Pastor D. I know, we know, but listen, sometimes we get a little, And we just kind of stay in that stinky place where y'all should not be. God is good and the devil is bad, okay? So God is good and the devil is bad. So I'm going to read this again. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, all right? So who's doing the oppressing? It's not your mother-in-law. It's not your coworker, it's the devil, okay? And he is behind the scene pushing and a poking, all right? But you got to know, because you got to know, Brian mentioned it. That was good, yeah. People at work, all right? All right, okay, Pastor D, focus, okay. God is good, the devil is bad. And sometimes we lose our perspective and we start poking and we just get, stay focused. God is always good. That is his nature. That is all he is. He doesn't go to the closet and go, what should I wear today? like I was this morning. Okay? No, he is always good. That's just who he is. Amen. All righty? So the devil went around oppressing people. The devil goes around oppressing people. He does. All right? Now, I was trying to find, if you go into the Greek and study and pull this out, the closest word or way I could explain oppression is this. Ready? So that we'd understand oppressed. Someone who keeps getting hit, punched, struck over and over. Oppression. Amen. Happy D. Okay. But listen, when you read this, it really is, it has to do with mental. Not really physical. Okay. All right. So the devil, the enemy comes and he strikes your mind. Shh, 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 shh. If you couldn't sleep last night, it wasn't the pizza, maybe, but it's your thoughts going through your head. He's striking your mind. Okay. None of you have ever had this happen. You know, this thought, the striking of your mind. Hey, you're no good. God's mad at you. You're messed up. You didn't love like you're supposed to. That's a strike to your mind. Strike over and over and over. And you start letting it hit you over and over. God doesn't love you. God's mad at you. God is so disappointed at you because he heard those beep, beep words you said yesterday to your dog. Right. All right. So wait a minute. God knew what we were going to be like before we were created. He knew so much who you were and what you're going to be like that he knew that he sent and planned on Jesus, right? He knew. He planned on Jesus coming to rescue me. Amen. Now, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. God knew I wasn't going to be perfect. He knew Jesus was perfect. So God sent the perfect one for the unperfect me and you. Amen. Praise God. So when we receive Jesus into our life, we receive almost like, I have the best way I can say, perfectness in here. I receive the perfect one, okay? And then I get to start walking it out. Amen? So when you receive Jesus, that's what happens. So oppression. I don't know if you've ever felt this, like oppression is like over and over and over in your mind, just over and over and over in your mind, a strike, a hitting, and it's not a good one. Okay, it's a bad one, all right? And I really think that's one of the reasons that people who have depression is because they're being hit over and over, over and over, and they don't know how to get out of that. They don't know how to stop that. So we're going to talk about that a little bit anyway. Just write this down. 2 Peter, they're not going to put it up. 2 Peter 2, 7, and 8. 2 Peter 2, 7, and 8. It goes like this. The righteous man Lot. Okay, who is Lot? Don't name your kid Lot. Okay, who is Lot? Lot is an Old Testament guy, all right? And his father was Abraham's brother, and Lot's father died, and Abraham took him into his family. Abraham took his nephew Lot into his family to be his own. Okay, this is who Lot is. So it goes like this. The righteous man Lot was vexed. Everybody say vexed. Raise your hand if you use that in a sentence this week, besides what I just said. I can't even remember the way, but I'll tell you what it means in a minute. But listen to this. Lot was so vexed in his soul, it says. Soul means your mind. Lot was vexed in his mind, okay? Okay, and he was vexed in his mind by what he saw and by what he heard all the time. So, could it be that what you see all the time and what you listen to all the time might be vexing your mind? I'm just saying, Pastor D, don't you go tell me what I can listen to. Nope. Let's ask. But God might tell you what you see all the time, what you listen to all the time might be vexing. We'll tell you what vexing is, your mind, okay? Now, vexed. I know none of you are vexed today because you all came with nice smiles. All right. Just checking, okay? You're not vexed, all righty? Praise the Lord. Vexed, all righty? Vexed means to wear down. You know that kid in the candy aisle? You checking out? Can I have some candy? 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 So, and what do? They wear you down. Just take the candy. Not me. I was a good parent. I brought the candy. Are you kidding me? I have four kids. All right. Back to that. All right. So vex means to wear down, to take someone and keep striking them and striking them over and over, over and over till you wear them down. That kid over and over just wears you down. So what do you think the enemy wants to do to us? Wear you down. He does. He does. He wants to vex your mind to where he just wears you down by the thought after thought after thought. Okay. But I'll tell you the rest in a minute. All righty. But that's not us. Just jot down James chapter 4:7. James 4:7. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Actually, you have to do two of those things at the same time. But submit to God. What does that mean? How about submit to what his word says? Well, I don't like what he said. Submit to the word of God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You look that word up, that sentence in the Greek, and it's so cute. He resist the devil, and he will flee as of in terror. Terror. Some of you are running from him in terror. You know, it's supposed to be another way. I've had people, and I used to be like this. This is like 40 years. Don't mention the devil. He'll come and get you. No, Jesus what? Defeated who? The devil. Ephesians, just read all of that, okay? Jesus defeated the devil. He defeated him and triumphed him over, making a show of him, all right? And guess what? He is now under your feet. He is now under your feet, so you should have him running in terror, not you, not us's, okay? Some of you look at me like, she's really out there. This is so bizarre. No, it isn't, okay? Jesus came with a bigger work, a bigger work than most of us realize. Some days I think we're just operating in one quarter of the work that Jesus did for us, all right? And I'm telling you what, he has fully defeated the devil. Everybody say amen. Amen. He's fully defeated. He has fully given you authority over the devil and the works of the devil. Amen. And he wants you to have, Brian said that, an abundant life, a full abundant life. I came to give you life and life abundantly, overflowing. Just read your Amplified. It's just so good. Okay. That's what he's fully come to do. All right, but we're going to submit to the word, resist the devil, and he's out of there, all right? Praise God. All right, you ready for your red letter? Open up to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, this is really about Jesus, and then he starts talking. Luke 4, okay. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He's the hometown boy. He came home, right? Where he had been brought up. And as was his custom. Everybody say custom. Okay, so what was his custom? Well, what is a custom? A custom is a habit. Okay? My habit, get up in the morning, go make that coffee, sit down, all right? Coffee first, all right? Okay, my habit, all right? But what was Jesus's habit? Ready? He entered the synagogue, that would be our church today, on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. Okay. So Jesus went to church, that was his habit. So Jesus read the scripture, that was his habit. All of you that are here today, good habit. You came to church today. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Hey, listen, if you're a young parent or you're a parent that's raising kids again, you want to know one of the best habits? Teach your kids. Hey, we're going to church. Oh, I just don't feel like it. I think we should eat waffles. No, you don't ask your kid. At least I didn't ask my kids. No, Sherry's like, no, we didn't. We'd go. We're leaving in 10 minutes. Everybody in the car. Flip-flops or no flip-flops? I brought kids to church and they'd be like one flip-flop on, okay? Didn't make a difference, right? Okay. I'm telling you what, one of the best habits you can teach your kids is come to church. Just saying. Okay, verse 18. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is Jesus speaking, red letter, but he actually is going to pull out of the Old Testament, okay? He's going to pull out of Isaiah 61. Write that down, Isaiah 61. What a wonderful chapter to see God's love and what Jesus came to do and what he's done. All right, but here we go. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who's the me that's talking right now? Jesus. Jesus is this. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to anoint, to announce release. I like this. Pardon and forgiveness. To the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set free those who are oppressed. Listen to oppressed. That's that word again. Oppressed. Downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy. Okay? Anybody ever go through some stuff and it was just pure tragedy? I have. Okay? And listen, this is telling us Jesus came to release, to heal. All right? And maybe you're here today and you're in the middle of this tragedy. I want you to know that Jesus came to heal you, to get you out of that. Praise God. Verse 19, this is Jesus going. He says, I came to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God greatly abounds. If you go dig in your Old Testament, because I know you just all love doing this, but I'll give you the cheat sheet on this. When he talks about the favorable year of the Lord, it's really called the year of Jubilee. Anybody ever hear about that in the Old Testament? Oh, you guys are good. I like the year of Jubilee. All right? So it's the 49th year on our calendar, and then we're at the last day, and we flip the calendar. It's now the 50th year. It's called the Year of Jubilee. And they would announce, this is the Year of Jubilee. And they'd blow the trumpets. Not the shofar. Okay, sign them. They'd blow. You know I love those things. No, I don't. They'd blow the trumpets. Okay? And anybody who had family members that had been taken out of their home and made to be slave, on the year of Jubilee, they were released and brought back to your family. That is a really good year, right? Anybody who, maybe you lost your home, you didn't make your mortgage payment. I don't know what they did back then. Okay, but your home would be brought back to you, returned to you. Year of Jubilee, that is a great year. Okay, everything that was stolen was brought back. Year of Jubilee. That's a great year. So Jesus reads this. He rolls up the scroll and it's teaching time and he looks at them and he goes, today in this place, this prophecy has been fulfilled. What he's really saying, today I am the year of Jubilee. How many have taken him as the year of Jubilee? I was a captive to sin. I was lost. I was bad. And he has set me free. Woo! Guys, in a whole lot of areas and more, you don't have to wait every 50 years. Some of you missed the 50, okay? So praise God, you don't have to wait. Jesus is the year of Jubilee. Jesus is the one that says, now I've come to help and set captives free. If you got sickness, if you got oppression, if you got finances, he's going, I've come to set you free. Whoo, I like my Jesus. I like the year of Jubilee. Okay, so we're talking about Jesus's healing. Jesus is the healer, okay? And here's a simple thought. I am not the healer. I am not the healer. What's the saying? I couldn't heal a gnat's fly or wing or whatever it is. A gnat's wing, right? I couldn't do that because I'm not the healer. Alrighty? Okay? But what if I could get you all pointed to the healer? Get myself pointed to the healer, right? Because that's where healing comes from. He's the healer. I'm not the healer, all righty? And listen, I know God anoints and gives gifts, special gifts to men and women. I've seen kids walk in it too. Gifts of healings. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just scribble that down. Gifts of healings, gifts of miracles, gifts of faith. God gives certain people, okay, these gifts, but they are not the healer, all right? The healer works through them, and it's as the Spirit wills. They just don't walk up and turn the light switch on, okay? So they're not the healer, but God will use them to be moved through, to be moved through. That didn't come out right, but you know what I meant, okay? So here's, this is interesting, been there, done that. How many times have people got in their car and traveled hours to go to a meeting to hear somebody speak so that they would pray for them? There's nothing wrong with that, but there's something wrong with that, okay? Because they, the he or the she, is not the healer, right? They're just the vessel. Alrighty. So maybe we need to refocus. Okay. Refocus. Stop looking at that person's the healer. And I've done this, you know, how about we refocus and go, Jesus is the healer. But yes, he does work through people. But my focus is always this way. My focus is always this way. My focus is always this way. All right. Turn over to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 16. Red letter again. When evening came, Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When evening came, they, people, got in their car, right? They brought to him, who's him? Jesus. They brought to Jesus many who were under the power of demons, and he cast them out with a word. I'm not even going to go tell you all the rest of that. That's just so good. Okay, the next part. And restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah. And so that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Just write this down. He's reading out of Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. This is what he's quoting. He himself took our infirmities himself and carried away our diseases. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Okay, where did he do that? He took our infirmities on himself and carried away our diseases. Where did he do that? He did it on the cross, right? He did that on the cross. It says he was beaten and he was whipped, all right? And it says he was beaten and whipped, and for us and by his stripes we were able to be healed. We are the healed, okay? How many of you watch these movies, the Passion play, the Passion movie? I actually can tell you I didn't watch all of it. I couldn't watch all of it. So I just read about it. So there's this guy, Kenneth Wiest, and he's a Bible translator. And he did all the digging. And this is what he said about what Jesus looked like when he was beaten and whipped. Ready? He was like a piece of meat hanging on a tree, quivering. You couldn't tell human or animal. Okay? So basically, Jesus was beaten to a pulp. Why? You ever go, why? Why? What for? Why? Okay? So we can have some preachers tell you that Jesus makes people sick? No. Throw the person out. No. Okay? How about Jesus was beaten? Jesus was bruised? Jesus was whipped so that we could be the healed? Amen, Pastor D. All righty. Now, put your seatbelt on. Little technical thing. Ready? Jesus didn't heal you when you accepted Jesus. Breathe. Keep breathing. Come on. Just stay with me. Righty? What happened when you accepted Jesus? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, accepts Jesus, he is a new creature, a new being, new. That's what happened on the inside. But, this is, you know, people give me the butt word and I'm like, I don't want to hear your butt. But this is the good butt. But all of that other stuff was for you. And it's up to us to take hold of it. All right. So if and when, because I said today is the day of salvation. If you have received Jesus, asked him just simply, Lord Jesus, I see that you're the Savior. And I'm lost. Lord Jesus, come into my life. If you do that, guess what? You are now a brand new man or a new woman on the inside. It is wonderful. The life of God. That's what happened, okay? Praise God. Gee, I'm all over my notes. Should I give you another scripture here? Let's see. All right. Oh, my. Don't look at the clock. Oh, my. Praise God. So I was praying about praying, and I was praying about the service, and I had in my heart that before you leave that we would pray for everyone, for whatever's going on in your life. If you've got a physical thing, an emotional thing, a relationship thing, okay? And we're going to pray for everyone, okay? And I'm going to believe God, and so are you, because I'm going to put you in the position where you're going to believe that God will touch, that God will get rid of whatever's supposed to get rid of, that God will just touch whatever needs to be touched, okay? And then some of you might say, okay, Pastor D is going to pray for me. Have you read in your Bible the time that this man came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, only speak the word and my servant will be healed. No, I want Jesus to come up and put his hand on me and pray for me. No, this man, who was not of the house of Israel, okay, came up to Jesus and he said, Jesus, only say the word and my servant would be healed. And Jesus was like just blown away. And he said, I have not found anyone in all of Israel. You know, the ones that should be knowing the Bible. I have not found anyone in Israel that has such faith. And really, if you dig it out, it says such great faith. All right. And the reason why this man had such grace, Jesus says, because he simply believed. All right. And so the man goes, listen, I'm a man. He was a soldier. He said, I'm a man under authority and I have people under me. I'm a man over authority. I do both. And I tell people, you go and they go. And I tell people, come and they come. All right. And then he turned around. He said, so Jesus, he got it. He got the authority. He believed. And he says, so Jesus, just say the word and my servant will be healed. That is where I'm going to take you to off the edge today. All right? Piece of cake, Pastor D. That's easy, right? Yeah, because that's going to be praise the Lord. All right. So in a little bit, we're going to pray the word over you, and I'm believing God to do things. Amen? But sometimes you have to get in the right position. Okay? Now, you know, I know don't know a whole lot about sports because every time I give you an example, I muff it up. But I do know in sports, you know, most of the time you got to have the quarterback's here. He's looking for the guy. The guy's got to get in the right position so they can score, okay? How about I know, better yet, do you know, that there's a position, there's a place that we have to be for all of that to happen. So I'm just going to give you three easy ones. Some of you are going to go like, piece of cake, good. Let's get in position. So I'm going to give you three easy positions so that when we pray, you're in the position that God does what he does and you catch what he has and you take what he has, all right? So everybody say position. Amen, all right? Oh, by the way, you can't make God do something, okay? I can't make him do something. But I can surely be in the position, and he just does it, right? Okay, I'll go into more of that. All right, position. Ready? Number one. Take a note. Write this down. Believe he can. We're talking about healing. Believe he can. Duh, Pastor D. No, believe he can, okay? I just have to believe that he can. I know I can't, but I can believe he can, all right? Mark 9, verse 23. Mark 9, verse 23. Mark 9, verse 23. Then Jesus said, red letter, if you can, everything is possible to the one who believes. Everything is possible to the one who believes. I believe he's the healer. I believe it's already been given to me, all right? All right. I'm going to say it again. Everything is possible to the one who believes, all right? Our part is so easy. Some of you got the meanest looking faces. You should be going, yeah. Come on. Our part is the easy part. Believe. He actually has the hard part. Think about it. You need a new heart. All right. And he's already done it through Jesus. Okay? So, everybody say, our part's easy. Okay? He's already did it by the stripes of Jesus. All right? So let's not make it harder than it is. All righty? Praise God. Now, take you to, I'm going to take a little left turn, but we're still heading down the highway. Many times you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll read where Jesus healed the multitudes. Everybody read that in your Bibles? Because yes, Pastor Diaz was in that all day yesterday. Okay. Many times you'll read over and over and over, Jesus healed the multitude, Jesus healed the multitudes. Okay. A group of 1,000 is not multitudes with an S. Can't even say that word. Multitudes. Okay. Multitudes is thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And it says in your Bible, lots of places, that Jesus healed the multitudes. The multitudes. He's just walking around healing multitudes. Multitudes. Everybody say multitudes. Okay? All righty. Now, but you don't know who they were. You don't know what he did. You don't know what he did to the people. You just know Jesus healed the multitudes. But what you do know, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's 20 cases of individual healings. And you know what he did, you know who they were, and you know the outcome. Okay? Such as this one. I was like, yeah, listen to it. Jesus is praying. You all know the story. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, because that's a good word to say fast. And you know what happens? His disciples fall asleep. And he's like, oh, golly gee whiz, are you kidding me? Can't you stay awake? Right? And they're like, ooh, wake up, wake up. And then all of a sudden, Judas comes with a whole army of people to get Jesus, right? You all know the story, right? Come up the mountain, they're going to get Jesus. And Peter, now Peter, except for this last 3.5 years, what was his occupation, everybody? A fisherman, okay? Peter is not a trained swordsman, is he? No, what was he trained at before? A fisherman, okay? So he got Judas has got this army of people coming up. They're going to capture Jesus because they're going to crucify him. And Peter gets out his sword. And he chops some guy's ear off. Now, I don't think he really was trying to chop his ear off. Like, what is that going to do? I think he was probably like, let's chop his neck off. Let's stab him in the heart. Okay? But come on. What's an ear good? Right? All right. Okay. Now I can. So I don't think he was aiming for the ear, righty? Okay. He's a fisherman. He's not a swordsman. Okay. And he chops this guy's ear off. And what does Jesus do? He stops. And you know, and you read the Bible, and I was flipping through every translation I could. It doesn't say if he picked up the ear, gross, and put it back on him, or he simply went up. And it said, Jesus healed the man. All right? Now, you're like, completely healed. All right? So now some of you are like, well, that's really cute, Pastor D. That's really nice. Now can we have dessert and coffee? Okay, but listen. You read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A lot of times they'll tell snippets of stories in 3 out of the Gospels, and the 4th one gets into it and tells you all the nitty-gritty. And sometimes you'll read the Gospels, and they don't even mention, but one will. Well, in one of the Gospels, and I forgot which one it was, but anyway, one of the Gospels, they write that Peter, how'd you like to be known, the guy that cut off somebody's ear? Peter walked up and cut someone's ear off. All right? And in one of that same gospel, it says who the man was. The other gospels don't reach it, but one of them, and his name is M-A-L-C-U-S, Malchus, whatever, you know, just great Greek person here, okay? But this is what you need to know. This guy, Malchus, that has ear cut off, that Jesus, he is the chief priest's servant. You know what that makes him? Part of the enemy. You know, the enemies of Jesus that were coming to capture Jesus and crucify him. He's one of the bad guys, right? That's not a white hat. That's a black hat. He's a bad guy. Okay. So let me ask you this question. I want you to think, if Jesus would stop for the enemy to heal, how much more would he not, I'm going to lose it right here, care for you, stop for you, and be the healer for you. Okay, praise God. All right, so first, we have to believe that he can. Second, here we go, I'm pushing gun. We have to ask. Okay, we have to believe God that he wants us to ask. Religion has really screwed this one up, okay? Really, really bad, okay? Such as, well, you're not allowed to ask, you selfish thing. Hey, didn't you come up last week and ask? Lord Almighty, what is the problem with you? Why are you up here? Okay, religion says that you're not supposed to ask, okay? Now, y'all know I came from a long, long time ago in a far, far away place, generations ago, back when the dinosaurs roamed, okay? But when I grew up, guess what? They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have cell phones. I remember the first cell phone Jack got. It wasn't a cell phone. It was a mobile radio. And it was as big as my purse. And it had a strap on it. And it stayed in your car. Y'all babies, you know, anybody know this stuff? Yeah, you're babies right there. Yeah. We are forever young. We know. And it had to stay in your car. Because you left your car and you want to sit on the bleachers and watch your kid's baseball game. You didn't hear it. It wasn't working. You couldn't take it with you. Okay, so I remember way back then. I also remember having a landline in our house. One phone, amen, in our house on the wall. We didn't have the cute little princess phone. They weren't invented yet. Some of you don't even know what a little princess phone is. Okay. All right. And then, I'm not that old. Remember when they had the switchboard? I love Lucy. People would call in and they had the switchboard. All right. Anybody see movies like that? And you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. Cable. Okay. I think people think God's like that. Hold on just a minute. We have too many calls. You just have to wait. Hold on. He's not like that. Okay. Listen, let me give you a scripture. Matthew 7:11. Listen. This scripture tells you why you should ask. Why you should ask. Ready? Matthew 7:11. If you then being evil. Evil is not like a serial killer. It's not talking that. It's talking about natural. I'm a natural woman. Okay? You're a natural guy. Natural people, ready? If you then being evil or natural, let's say that again. If you then being natural know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? I love it. To those who ask. Okay. What are the qualifications for asking? I'm going to read it again. How much more will your Father, just natural, okay. If you then, being natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? The only qualification is you ask. Just ask. Everybody say ask. All right. Ask, and then he'll give. I just read that. He'll give good things to those who ask. So ask, he'll give good things. He gives good things who ask. Really, really? Okay, all right, now. The same way when my kids were little, I want apple. I'm like, here, baby. Oh, baby, here, baby, okay. All right, and now they're big. They still ask. The only thing, things are bigger than apples, right? Right? But you love your kids. And they love you, and you want to help them. You want to give to them, all right? So some of them, the purse is shut. You can take care of mama. Okay, right? But listen, don't you think your heavenly Father wants to give just because you ask? So ask, amen? You think he's different? Amen. All right. I recently heard a story. There's this lady, I don't even know what state she's in. She's a nurse, and she's a part of a large church, and they were taking a group of people on a medical missions. All right, a medical missions trip. There was a bunch of doctors and nurses from that church, but they were also teaming up to go to this with other churches to go to some far, far away place. I think it was India. And they were going to go do this. By the way, y'all should go on a missions trip. You'll come back and you go, the United States of America is dang good. You come back going, I am so blessed. And you might come back with your heart just smushed in love. Okay, you should go. All right. Anyway, so she's on a medical missions team with the doctors and nurses. And I love doctor and nurses, not just because one of my kids is, but I love them. I love the medical field, okay, because they're out doing good. Oh, my gosh, I think that's sort of like our Heavenly Father, right? They're out doing good, all right, and we should pray for them. Pray for them when they're protected. Pray that they have the energy when they go and do this stuff. And pray for just the researchers for supernatural wisdom on how to cure cancer and COVID. So we're done with this thing, right? So pray for them, all right? Shoo. All right. So anyway, she's on this medical missions. And by the way, the guy in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, he was a fisherman. He was an astronaut. He was a doctor. You passed the test. Luke was a physician. How about that? God likes doctors and nurses, okay? And listen, God, you and I see God as the healer, but guess who he uses? Doctors, nurses, and you. Okay, amen. All right. So the lady goes on the medical mission, and their thing is that doctors and nurses would work on you, and then they would pray for you at the end after you woke up, right? They would pray for you. And they were having extraordinary miracles afterwards. Doctors and nurses would be fixing y'all up, and, you know, they were doing all sorts of things, and then they would pray, and they were seeing miracles, like not the thing that they worked on, just miracles, just absolute miracles. So this nurse went up to the team and said, hey, you know what, y'all finish, can you pray for me? Is that word ask? Can you pray for me? So now let me tell you about this lady. She had crippling arthritis in one hand, so bad that it just, to open a bottle of water, it was just, couldn't do it, barely do it, to hold things, okay? And so they pray for her because she went up and asked, can you pray for me? Now, she's a believer. She's going to this church, but she's probably done this. But she went and she said, would you pray for me? So they pray for her, and her hand is healed. Not only healed, but restored. All the ligaments, I mean, they went and did like whatever, the bad things are all gone. Because, you know, I know all that medical technology. Healed, all right? Isn't that wonderful? Now, she must be so special. She must be perfect. She must be so good that God healed her. No, she's nobody special. She's a human being, all right? She makes mistakes. Got it? Alrighty, but listen, God loves everybody. You are all special to him, and he is the healer. Amen? So don't let that back you up, alrighty? Yeah. Let's do number three. Okay, so one, believe that he can. Two, ask. And here's our third one. Trust that he's working. Some people like, well, you know, I prayed about this, or someone prayed for me, but they get so mad at God because it didn't happen right then. How about you trust that he's working? All right? Trust that he's working. Open up to John chapter 5. This will be our last scripture, 5:17. Trust that he's working, 5:17. Oops, maybe not our last. I think I skipped one. Chad will tell me later. I think I skipped one. Okay, here we go. John 5:17, but Jesus answered them and said, my Father has been on vacation. No, my Father has been working until now. He has never stopped working. And I too am working. Not vacation, I'm working, okay? So apparently God and Jesus are working. Apparently the Father has always been working. He's always working. He continues to work. And Jesus is working. So why do we get mad? Because I feel like he's not working. All right, listen. They're both working. Everybody say they're working. They're working, okay? So in other words, God's not dead. God's not on vacation. He's still working. And all I need to do is believe that he can, ask, and trust that he is. Amen? Okay, so I want to pray. Hey, do I have any worship team guys up here? Here it comes. Thank you. Come on, Nevin. Would you just
I want to get us back pointed to the Lord. And just we're just going to sing whatever you have in your heart, just not too long and whatnot. But listen, I know y'all can run out of here, okay? And some of you have something very important. But how about you just text them and say, I'm going to be 30 minutes late, all right? But if you have to, we're not going to turn around and look at you and point at you, all right? But could y'all just stay? Okay, and how about y'all stand? We're going to sing, we're just going to sing just shortly, and then we're going to pray, all right? And we're, because we believe he can, we believe we should ask, and we are going to trust that he's working. And I believe that God is going to do things, amen? All right? And we're going to pray, whether it's a physical thing, an emotional thing, a relationship thing, a financial thing, we're going to pray at the end, right? But let's just get our heart on him, because I of my own self can do nothing. You are not the healer. I am not the healer. So we're just going to just lift our hearts, our eyes back up to him. I love when I put them on the spot. Thank you for mercy. I'll take you out for ice cream next week or something. I'm so sorry. Praise the Lord. Of course, I could sing. So right now, I just want you to connect your heart to the Lord. See him and his love, his faithfulness. His always desire, his plan, is to have good things in your life. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Okay. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to pray. Okay. I'm going to pray the word. I'm not going to quote this and this, but I'm going to pray the word. A lot of you know that. If you've got a physical thing and you can touch it, just put your hand on there, all right? We're going to pray. And I know, and we believe, that he can, he does, and he will, and we're just going to grab hold of that. So, Father, we come to you just saying thank you for being our Heavenly Father, for being a good God, and you only do good, and you don't give sickness and disease and torment and any of that stuff. You are a good, good Father. And we know that, and we come to you, and we're asking. We believe, and we're asking. We know it's your will. We know it's your will to heal us. We know, we've read, that with those stripes Jesus bore, took sickness and carried them away for us so that we might be the healed. So this moment, we just raise our hands to heaven and we say thank you that you sent the word Jesus and you healed all. I thank you for healing me. I thank you there were none feeble among them, that you restored and you made whole. I thank you that you sent release to the captives. So if your mind has been just bound and upside down in torment, say, I've been released through Jesus, through his love. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you. Jesus went about doing good and healing all. Today I am the all. And I thank you, Jesus, that those stripes that you took were for me. And I say, healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you. Thank you for being my healer. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for restoring. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we give you all the praise and glory. We know you're working. We know you're working. We know you're working in my body, in my relationships, in my finances, in my mind. I know you're working. So I'm going to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You are working a good work. Amen. Thank you. To the Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, the healer, the deliverer. If you would believe, all things are possible. I want to hear your reports this coming up week. Call me up. Have a wonderful day. You are so loved by the Father. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord.